Okay, let's go ahead and turn to our scripture for today in Acts chapter 5, verse 27 to 33. This is a short version, or excuse me, just a short portion of a larger story. I'll do a little bit of unpacking of that story, but for the sake of time, we selected a short text for today's meditation. So go ahead and let's open to that. And let me read from Acts chapter 5, verse 27. The apostles were brought in and made to appear before the Sanhedrin to be questioned by the high priest. We gave you strict orders not to teach in this name, he said. Yet you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching and are determined to make us guilty of this man's blood. Peter and the other apostles replied, We must obey God rather than human beings. The God of our ancestors raised Jesus from the dead, whom you killed by hanging him on the cross. God exalted him to his own right hand as prince and savior, that he might bring Israel to repentance and forgive their sins. We are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. Verse 33, and when they heard this, they were furious and wanted to put them to death. We are in a section in the story of the early church, what Pastor Hiroshi calls the Shodai Kyokai, the early young church, where our fathers and mothers in the faith are facing opposition. They are under pressure from outside the church and from inside the church. There's persecution from the authorities outside, and there is temptation and conflict from people inside. This is the second story of the apostles' arrest from public figures. And last week, inside the church, there was the story of hypocrisy, of fake Christianity, of religious performance and pretense that threatened the early church. That's the story of Ananias and Sapphira and the lying about money. And then the next story after this, starting in chapter 6, is another story inside the church of interracial, intercultural, interpersonal conflict between native Jews and Greek Jews. And there's problems and complaints within the early, young, new church. And so when there's pressure outside and there's conflict inside and there's opposition outside and there's hypocrisy inside, it's almost a mess. Well, God, this is your church. How are you going to protect it? How are you going to establish it? How are you going to move her forward? This is just a new church. And just like a mother and a father of a new baby, and this baby is learning to walk, and it's falling and it's stumbling, and the parents are always having to watch the baby. It's called, tebanase. They can't let go of the baby. Or, you know, they can't let the baby out of sight. We see in the book of Acts, you know, from chapter 3 all the way to chapter 8, and then onwards. But while they're here in Jerusalem, God, like a loving father, protecting and always caring and caressing and you know, guiding his young toddler baby church, and they're still okay. And this is one story, amazing story. Too much to cover and preach on in, you know, 20 minutes. Pastor Hiroshi focused on an important part of the story, which is in the later section where basically they wanted to kill, the authorities wanted to kill the apostles. But God, through the wisdom of a Pharisee named Gamaliel, basically saved them. And they were beaten and flogged, but then they were released. An amazing story. But we're not going to focus on that. And if you want to listen to Pastor Hiroshi's sermon on that from this morning, absolutely. It should be up soon. I think it's already on the homepage. But here today, I want to focus on verse 31. Verse 31, where the apostles and Peter, they're defending themselves for why they're preaching the gospel. And the reason is God exalted Jesus, verse 31, to his own right hand as Prince and Savior, that he might bring Israel to repentance and forgive their sins. I want to focus on this word here that Peter and the apostles use, Prince and Savior. Just studying that this week brought so much insight and encouragement and feeding that I want to share it with you right now. So, let me tell you this story. There's two boys, Jerry and Rocky. They grew up, it's a very tough neighborhood. Lots of bad people, gangs. And Jerry and Rocky, they're bad kids. They take some fake pens and they rob a train. And they, you know, try to get money from the people on this train. And the police find them. Jerry runs away, but they catch Rocky. Rocky goes to prison. And 15 years later, they're both older now, they've had a rough life. Jerry is now a priest, and he's religious, and his job is to care for the children in his neighborhood, this rough, poor, urban, dirty, you know, filled with gangs and violence, this neighborhood. He's the priest in this neighborhood, and he's trying to guide the children and raise up the children away from a life of gangs and violence. Rocky, 15 years later, he's a gangster. But not only is he a gangster, he becomes a boss gangster. And he is now using violence and extortion, and he's killing people. And he's this leader of a gang. Well, eventually the police catch him, and they put him on trial for, you know, assault and murder and robbery and theft. And he goes to prison, and, you know, basically he's going to go to the electric chair to be killed, to pay for his crime. The problem is Jerry, his old friend is in this prison, but the children that Jerry is trying to care for and lead and guide and disciple, these children are tough, and they're part of gangs. And they tell Jerry, we worship Rocky. We read about Rocky in the newspaper, and he's so brave, and he's so strong, and he's our hero. He doesn't care about the mayor or the governor. He does what he wants. And he looks at death and he looks at violence and he laughs. And he looks at danger and he's not afraid of anything. We worship him. Rocky is the hero of these children in the streets. And so Jerry goes to his friend in prison the night before Rocky is going to be in the electric chair to be executed. And Jerry talks to Rocky and he says, I have one favor. Rocky, I need you to do one thing tomorrow, even as you go to the electric chair. And Rocky says, well, what is it? And Jerry says, Rocky, I need you to die as a coward. I need you to go to the electric chair and I want you to cry and weep and beg for mercy. I want you to tell them you don't want to die, and I want you to whimper and shrivel up. Don't hold your head high. Don't put your chest out. I need you to die a coward. And Rocky looks at Jerry and he says, what? Why would I do that? And Jerry says, because the children I'm trying to lead, they worship you. And you know, Rocky, that if they see you with your head high, your chest out, and you're laughing at danger, they're going to also follow you into death. And I'm trying to save them out of this life of violence and murder and gangs. And if you die like that, they're going to follow you right into the violence and the gangs and the bosses and the mafia and all of this. You can save their life, Rocky, by laying down your power. And Rocky says, I can't do that. That's all I have left. I'm going to die. All I have is my pride. All I have is my glory, my power. You're asking me to lay down my glory and my power so that these kids can not follow me. And Jerry says, yeah, I need you to do that. And so at the end of the story, Rocky goes to the chair, and in the newspaper, the children read that he was crying, and he was weeping, and he was begging for his life, and he was begging for mercy. And they couldn't believe it. Their hero was dying a coward's death. And what happened at the end of the story is they followed the priest to go pray. Rocky laid down his glory so that the kids would not be led to their death. Rocky gave up his life so that the children can live. That is a hero. And the reason I want to talk about that story is because the word hero is the focus of this story in the book of Acts. Well, where do we get that? Right there in verse 31, God exalted Jesus to his own right hand as hero. It says prince, but the word in Greek is the word archegos. Archegos is used four times in the Bible. And every time it's translated differently, using a different word, because it has so many meanings. But I love what Luke is doing with this word here. The word archegos is a word that's rarely found in the Bible, but you find it a lot in ancient Greek literature. It's the word that is used to describe the great heroes, the titans, the great gods and their heroic adventures. It's used most of all to describe Hercules, the great ancient Greek hero. He was the archegos. And so what Luke is doing in this text is by showing the readers of the ancient Greco-Roman world that Jesus is the archegos. He He's telling them, you have the Titans, you have the great heroes, you have your gods, you have Olympus, you have Hercules. But the truth is, you need Jesus of Nazareth. And I love what Luke is doing here because he uses two words, hero and savior. He says, God exalted Jesus to his own right hand as prince and savior. Savior is the word soterion. Soterion is the word for savior. It's what the Jews were looking for. They were looking for a savior from Rome, the oppressor, the tyrant, the geopolitical, the economic oppressive power of Rome. They needed a savior. And so Luke is showing the Jews who are reading this text. Yeah, you need a savior. The savior is for the weak. The savior is for the poor. The savior is for the oppressed. And the savior is for the diseased and the left out, the forgotten ones, the outsiders. They need a savior. What is the kingdom of God? It is the place where the hungry are fed, the naked are clothed, the poor are provided for, the weak are protected, the oppressed are set free. It's the place where the weakest have a savior, and God exalted Jesus Christ as a savior. That's for the weak, the weakest of us, the poorest of us. But you know what? How about the rich? How about the powerful? You know what they need? They need a hero. They need an archegos, not like Hercules. They need one like Jesus Christ. How so? What is this hero, Jesus Christ? Well, I am a teacher. I work with junior high and high school students. And in the education system of Japan, even in elementary school, you know, all the subjects, they have math and language, they have social studies, you know, they have physical education. But there's a subject in all schools, from elementary school to junior high, even high school, it's called dotoku, ethics, shinri. Morality. Basically, Japan understands that you can teach kids math and science and history and language, but what good is knowledge without wisdom? What good is knowing all these things, but you're not the kind of human that uses this knowledge for the good of society? And so you have morality classes, and you have seminars on being a good person and how to help society. This is a good thing, okay? Japan needs these things. Every society needs dotoku and shin and rinri, right? But you know what? In the ancient world, when children were being educated, they didn't have morality classes. They didn't have seminars on, your self-esteem and self-realization. What they had were stories. They told them about heroes. Because they knew that when you hear a story about a hero, that ignites within you, that resonates in your heart, that touches a place in you as a human being that understands, I'm going to be something bigger. I need to be a person that does something, not for myself, but for my family, for my city, for this world. I need to be like someone else. I need to have a principle. I need to have a guiding truth that leads me out of myself to live for others, maybe even to die for them. Now, just the basic idea of a hero. You may think maybe it's someone in the military or someone on the police or in the fire department that goes into a dangerous situation at risk of their life to save others or to protect somebody or something. In some ways, yes, but even they would tell you, you know, when you watch a news report of a fireman who saved a family or saved a child, and they ask them, how you know, you're a hero. And most of the time, they'll say, no, I was just doing my job. For them, it's not heroic necessarily. It's the duty. There's no choice. It's not like, I could go into this building or I don't have to go into, I could just go to lunch. No. It's their duty. So it's not heroic. It doesn't take courage necessarily. It just takes obedience. So what is a hero then? You don't have to be a fireman. You don't have to be a soldier. You don't have to be a superhero to be a hero, to have courage. You have to make a decision. That's what a hero does. A hero is someone who acts on principle and then makes a decision based on that principle. For example, you could be a businessman. You could be a businessman, and you have the option. Option A is dishonest, but it makes more money. Option A is, you know, bends the rules and the laws that govern the business, but it will lead to a better profit. Option A will hurt your customer in some way. It kind of deceptive, or it kind of, you know, it inflates your profit, but it deflates, you know, your competitors, and you know, it's your benefit at the cost of the customer or your competitor, but it benefits you. That's option A. Or option B, it may benefit you or it may not. It actually might cost you, but it will benefit your customer. It will benefit your industry. It will benefit society as a whole. That's option B. But so which do you choose? Option A, you know it's wrong, but it will help you. Option B, it's the right thing to do, but it may cost you something. You may have to give up something. You may not be as profitable or successful as option A is. The heroic thing, the thing that requires courage, is to make the right decision. The apostles point to Jesus Christ. And they say he's the hero because he made the right decision. But is he like a hero like Hercules? You compare Jesus to the other heroes. You know, you don't even have to, whether it's, you know, Zeus or Aquaman or whoever, I don't know, Spider-Man, right? You have a boy, Peter Parker. He gets bitten by a radioactive spider, and now he has superpower. I live in Hiroshima. It's famous for radiation. I'm sure we have radioactive spiders. I was probably bitten by, I've been bitten plenty of times. Maybe they were radioactive, I don't know. I have no superpower, all right? But what is a hero in this world? It's someone who has power and uses that power to overcome the power of an enemy. They assert their strength. They assert their dominance over their enemy, and they have the victory. Well, what about Jesus? What was his superpower? No superpower. He had all power. He had all the glory. He is omnipotent. He is God. He created everything. So what did he do? He laid down his power. Instead of asserting his dominance, he gave up. And he submitted to the will of the Father. He laid down his glory so that we can have his. That's our hero. That was the decision he made. That was enough to give courage to the apostles in the face of great danger. They were suffering oppression. They were facing beatings, accusations, and death. But they looked at their hero, and they said, yeah, we're going to obey. Where did they get this? Well, you can see it right there. We must obey God rather than human beings. Where did they get this power to obey? Let's look at the next slide. It says right there, verse 32, we are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. Our courage, our ability, our power to obey comes from the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit has been given to us in order that we would obey. That's our superpower. Finally, how do we use this superpower? How is it that we can endure? How is it that we can make the decision, the heroic decision that's required of us as a Christian? I'm glad you asked. We'll go down to our last slide, down to Hebrews chapter 12. In Hebrews chapter 12, it says, this is how you are able to endure. This is how you make the decision that's needed and requires courage and heroism. It says, you fix your eyes on Jesus, the hero and perfecter of our faith. The same word that Peter and the apostles used in Acts chapter 5. That's the same word right here, Hebrews chapter 12. The word pioneer, the word prince, is the word archegos. It's the word hero. Our hero is on the cross. Our hero is suffering. But why? And how? How did he do it? For the joy set before him, he endured the cross. What was the joy set before him? What joy did he not have before that he would have after the cross? What is that joy? Was it his relationship with the Father? No, he had perfect relationship with the Father. What was the joy? The joy was a relationship with you and with me. He knew that through the cross, he had won us. He had saved us. And now he could have us. That's our hero. He did it for us. That is how you have the courage to endure and make the right decision. You look at him doing it for you, and you say, if you could do it for me, by the power of the Holy Spirit, let me do it for you, my Savior, my hero, my prince, my perfecter. So, that's it. That's just a simple meditation on the word archegos, on the gospel, where Jesus, our hero, laid down his life for us. Follow him. Lay down your life for him. He is your Savior. He is your hero. All right, I'm going to pray, and then we'll close with a song, and I'll dismiss us. Heavenly Father, you gave us Jesus as our hero. Not Hercules, not Batman, not Superman, Jesus Christ, the hero given to us from days of old. Jesus, you conquered the dragon. You slayed the enemy through your humility and obedience. Lord Jesus, we follow you in humility and in obedience. We surrender and we submit. We have no power in ourselves. We have only your Holy Spirit that helps us to obey. Help us, Lord, with the decisions we need to make. Help us to have the courage to make the right decisions. For it is in Jesus' name that we ask it. Amen. All right, let me close with a song. What's our song? Yuki, do we have a song? No slide or anything? Yeah. Nothing. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Father, we thank you for this time together. We ask that you fill us with your Holy Spirit, that as we are filled, we would have the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of love and joy, peace and patience, kindness and goodness, gentleness and faithfulness, and self-control. And we'll thank you for these good things. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for joining us this week. See you again, same time, same YouTube channel. Sayonara. Have a good week.